Well, good day and welcome to another episode here of the Disaster Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, the pod medic. And if I'm talking too fast, that's all right. Just slow it down on your audio player. You can do that if you didn't know that. But anyway, no, just kidding. We'll get into the show here in just a second, but I gotta bring in my amazing co-host, Sam Bradley, who, after you get done with the call tonight, you might think she's unbearable.
Oh,
not a good joke.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yes. You got to find another line. Anyway, well, you know, it's funny because yesterday I had all these errands to run and it was snowing and I'm out there slipping, sliding all over the place. And of course, today the sun's out and all the snow's melting. So go figure. But, you know, we don't have our meteorologist tonight, but I do have a little thing I noticed. There's actually another tropical storm coming in. Or, you know, it's Tropical Storm 16 somewhere. So it just seems it's kind of late for that, don't you think, Joe?
It is pretty late in the year for that, or pretty early in the year, I guess, as the case may be. But, you know, I got a little bit of snow here today, and now it's just raining ugly.
Yeah, I actually got I saw a post on Facebook by somebody that went, well, we did have snow, but it's gone now, so all you see is this green lawn. That's impressive. The other thing in the news that I thought was very impressive was the 200 car vehicle accident outside of Montreal. I don't know. I think there were just a couple deaths, fortunately, but a lot of people got injured. I guess it was just like a complete, absolute, it wasn't there, and then it was their blizzard that dumped on them. Kevin, you hear anything about that?
I actually have been so busy, I haven't even had time to update myself on the goings-on.
You know what? I don't even know about that one, and I usually keep track of what's going on in the news pretty well. So, Sam, you might have to be our own sole source of information on this one. But, I mean, we've seen pileups like that before where, you know, sudden icy conditions or sudden snowy conditions make it, you know, impossible for people to stop in time when they do come upon an accident on a highway. And they can be quite a challenge for responders because just getting to the center of them is difficult.
Or finding, you know, in the case where fog is the culprit, it's finding the other end. They basically have to come in from both ends until they find the middle. But this one was outside of Montreal. I guess it only takes, if people start slowing down, but the guys behind them aren't thinking rationally, maybe I should slow down, then it's just chain reaction. And that's what it sounded like it was. And of course you've got, you know, cars and trains and boats and whatever else that's on the road that day. But I mean, the good news is only two people out of the, I heard up to 100 or 200 vehicles, but yet only maybe 70 got injured. So it certainly could have been much worse, but yeah, that's been kind of big news. I've been, watching that. So, but we have them around here all the time too, although I don't think I've heard of one with that many cars. But hopefully we won't see that. Anyway, Dr. Joe, you just got back from another resuscitation conference. Please do tell what you learned there.
I did. We had a resuscitation conference in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Really well done, well attended by the hospital folks for sure. Covered all the usual great stuff, including one of our demonstration cadaver labs showing the physiology of CPR, etc. So learned a ton of great new stuff, met a lot of great new folks, and I think just a great conference overall.
That is awesome. I mean, I just appreciate the fact that you're all in on this, all this resuscitation research, and I don't think there's a conference you miss or, you know, a chance to talk about or show people what you've learned. So cool on that, Dr. Joe.
Well, definitely enjoy doing those. We learn a lot when we go there, and I think folks get an awful lot of insights into some of the latest advances in CPR, and hopefully can incorporate that stuff into their own systems and start making a difference.
You betcha. I got this topic from something that Jamie posted today. You want to talk about that, Jamie?
Well, actually, it was a link that Kevin posted originally about a cougar attack out in, I believe, California. So maybe, Kevin, do you want to talk a little bit about the story itself? And then, you know, I just kind of mentioned I don't think we've ever done, aside from like snake bites and stuff, we've never done anything on the show about, you know, austere medicine and wilderness medicine ever talking about animal attacks. At all, from like larger animals than, you know, snake bite or spiders or something like that. So, Kevin?
Exactly.
Well, there's a lot to talk about, but I'll make it quick. A girl was walking in a park. It was actually in the San Francisco area, and a mountain lion just came out and grabbed her by the leg. And luckily, an adult was nearby and rushed up and punched it in the ribs. It let it go and ran off in the woods. The rangers are still looking for it. They did first aid on scene. Her parents took her to the hospital. She'll be fine. She had a few scratches and puncture marks on her calf, but that was really about it. So there's not really a whole lot to it, but, you know, those are kind of rare. They don't happen very often.
Fortunately. Actually, I found this site on Wikipedia that actually has a list of all the different attacks and how many casualties there were. And it's really kind of interesting. There's names I haven't even heard of. Felidae. Anybody into biology or zoology? Anyway, you know, it's kind of obvious that we're getting more encroachment because, and I feel bad for the animals in the sense that we encroached on their territory. There didn't used to be parking lots and houses and cars. But because of development, deforestation, I mean, 100 different reasons, they're hungry. And so they're getting less and less afraid of coming into that wilderness, urban wilderness environment. I saw one thing about bears they like bird seed. Well, I used to have a whole bunch of bird seeders outside. Bird feeders, thank you very much. It's a long day. So, and they look for trash. We'll talk about these animals separately, but they look for trash or chickens or, you know, you can't blame the poor animals. Just kind of curious, because you were mentioning black bears earlier, which I could talk. We have brown bears out here. Kevin, what do you have down there in Texas that's kind of a danger to people?
Name it. but real quick, going back to the mountain lions or cougars, whatever you want to call them. Most of what I read, and I've been kind of a nature geek pretty much all my life, the majority of cases when mountain lions attack, it's usually because they're sick or injured and they can't hunt their normal prey, and they just see something easier, which is typically humans. But in the majority of cases I recall reading about, the animal was either old, sick, injured, and couldn't hunt its normal prey, so it veered off its normal path and attacked humans. But that's not normally the case. Mountain lions don't want anything to do with us. They go out of their way to avoid humans at all costs. And unfortunately, once in a while, a sick one or an old one, we hear about it in the news. Luckily, it's not too often.
Yeah, well, that what you're saying makes perfect sense, really. Joe, I know you have some nasty snakes down there in the South, but what else do you get confronted with?
Well, we certainly get our share of, bears and various wild cats, cougars, and things like that. Although I'll tell you, probably one of our deadliest species is probably deer. They like to fight with vehicles on the highway, and that often does not turn out well for anybody. So those things can cause tremendous damage and even death.
We're right here at the foothills of the Rockies. We get a lot of elk, huge racks on these elk, and they come down from the foothills, and they can get, there's an opening into the neighborhood, and every once in a while you'll see everybody posting pictures of this elk in their yard, and there's usually about a dozen of them, and then they get tired and they go back up into the mountains, but I would not want to be gored by one of them. They have some serious horns. Jamie, you mentioned black bears on the East Coast. What else is out there?
Well, you know, we've got, you know, the deer population is, you know, huge in this area. And again, it's encroachment on habitat. We've run off a lot of the natural predators. So there's nothing in the area to really take out any deer for, you know, any appreciable numbers. So we rely on a hunting season once a year to thin out the herds. And even then, deer become a huge problem, especially in the fall during the rutting season, where they're just a little more, I guess I would say not as careful, because they're busy being distracted by each other. And they tend to run out in the roads and get hit by cars much more frequently in the fall months. But it can happen any time of year. I've hit, in the course of my life, I've hit a deer on two occasions. And, you know, backcountry roads, they just come running out, you know, then both occasions they jumped clean over a guardrail and landed right square in front of me. And nothing I could do about it. You know, they, one minute there was deer, nothing there, and the next minute there was a deer there, and it was no way to avoid it. So, and they do mess up a car. It's pretty amazing how much damage they can do.
Oh yeah, well, they're big animals, so yep, that's not surprising at all.
But we get, yeah, black bear, and occasionally there's now some sightings of even mountain lions this far east, you know, all the way to the East Coast. It's for a long time it was considered, you know, urban myth, but it's been confirmed now that we think there's just one that roams maybe across a 50-mile area. And so you don't see it for months at a time, and then somebody in the area will spot it again. And it tends to, like Kevin said, it avoids people. It generally is seen, like somebody will be in their house and it'll go through their backyard and keep going. And if there's people around, nobody sees it. So it's clear that it's not a danger to people per se. It's got plenty of deer to hunt, and that's why it's around.
Yeah, for real. So, Dr. Joe, the question comes up, has anyone seen the Sasquatch lately?
I talked to him yesterday, actually. He's pretty busy this time of year. A lot of stuff happening at school, so they've got him, pretty overwhelmed at the moment.
We're talking about our friend Jim Logan, the other half of Joe Holly, except for his wife, of course. But he's been too busy to be on the podcast, and we miss him. So if you happen to listen to this, Jim Logan, come in and say hi. Kevin, you know, talking about mountain lions, I did a little research this afternoon, and I saw this one story where this woman and her daughter were walking in the wilderness, and a mountain lion came out and grabbed her daughter, and she couldn't think of what to do, so she threw a water bottle at it, and it ran away, fortunately. That was a really close call. That could have been, the outcome could have been much different.
Yeah, and so, and sometimes you get the young ones who just don't know any better, and they really don't know what humans are. And there's lots of reports of people getting stalked while they're hiking. You know, come around a bend, and there is one. In fact, there's a video I saw, I don't know, in the past couple of years. They were hiking, a small group, maybe two or three people, somewhere out west, and they came around a corner and they saw just a big old mountain lion perched on a rock just looking at them. And they kind of backed away, and you never want to run, so they did the right thing. They didn't run, they just backed away slowly and turned around, and they heard something up in the brushes, and they turned another corner, and again, it was perched on another rock around a bend waiting for them. There was no attack. It was just kind of checking them out. But whenever an animal acts unnaturally for its species, you always got to wonder, you know, is it sick? Is it injured? You know, your head has to be in a swivel because something's not right with that animal.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Well, you gave us an interesting list of Texas critters. What is a javelina?
A javelina. It kind of looks like a... It's in the same family as a wild pig or a wild hog. It's smaller, but usually more nastier. They'll rush you. They'll try and attack you. And they have tusks just like a wild hog, and they won't think twice about trying to gore you. And the problem is they'll typically get in between your legs or around your legs, and they lift their head up, and they wind up just shearing your leg. So the major danger point is, you know, hitting a major artery in your leg, plus, you know, all the other damage. But that's one of the main, plus all the bacteria infections and everything else. But the main danger is their tusks, and they know how to use them.
Well, you said there's feral hogs too. Is that different?
Oh, there's feral. We're overrun with feral hogs. That's what I'll be doing this weekend. Oh yeah, a farmer can lose $10,000 overnight just by planting a field of corn, because they'll wait until night, usually, and then they'll just dig up all the seed overnight. And they cause probably billions of dollars in the country of damage, and they just kill the land. You can't plant anything. They're just and they have no natural enemy except for man.
Oh, my goodness.
They've got nothing to worry about. Nothing's, you know, nothing else really hunts them. They have no natural enemy, and they just tear everything up, and they don't care.
You also mentioned danger noodles. You got me on that one.
Danger noodle. You know what a danger noodle? Think of Dr. Abo. Danger noodle, a snack.
Oh, we'll talk about those a little bit. But you also mentioned alligators. We associate alligators with Florida, but man, I saw some scary, really scary videos today of people just being in the water and then boom. And what they do is they grab them and they rotate. So the person drowns. That's basically what happens, man. That's really scary stuff.
Yep. They bring you underwater. They basically, they'll drown you, and the death roll, because they don't have any hands, they can't, you know, eat a whole, you know, big animal, including humans, so they do a death roll, and that basically is used to rip large chunks of meat so they can swallow it, and that's how they eat.
So, Joe, do you have any alligators down there in Tennessee?
Well, if we do, they're incredibly rare. It gets a little too cold for them here during the winter, so I think we're a bit too far north to worry about those. But, you know, I mean, if you're talking about just being something in the woods, you know, probably one of the most common things that attacks people around here is dogs. And, you know, the issues around that are huge. Not only is it just a devastatingly traumatic injury, but you have to worry about infection and, you know, recurrent surgeries trying to repair damage. And there's just so many other issues related to the bite, at least sort of indirectly related to the bite, that can make those things just absolutely devastating injuries.
Are you talking about feral dogs mostly, Joe, or?
No, actually not. It's not that you're going to see an awful lot of toy poodles out in the woods, but you know, just people that take a hike in parks and areas like that could easily be attacked by a local dog that's a pet that just feels threatened in some sort of way. But, you know, the further out into the quote-unquote wilderness you get, obviously the more likely you are to run across feral animals and, you know, higher risk for sort of unprovoked attack anyway.
Jamie, you had a question.
Well, I was just curious, you know, because we've been talking about a lot of, you know, listing things, but, you know, from Kevin, from your standpoint and from a wilderness safety standpoint, is there any, you know, any one way to just keep in mind when dealing with larger wild animals, dogs, mountain lions, cougars, you know, bobcats, whatever it may be, coyotes, bears, you know, what are the things you can do to either protect yourself or frighten them off or you know, what is there a general practice?
Pepper spray, Kevin?
That's a really good question. I'm glad you brought it up. So with bears, there's been no reported recent attacks by by bears in any group of between 4 to 5 people. So if you can travel in groups, the biggest thing is know the area you're in, try and find out what local, I don't want to say dangers, but what local wildlife is in the area that you're going to be in. I'm a huge component of bear spray. Know how to use it effectively. Don't spray it into the wind. It's not really effective that way. Keep it warm. Cougars, fight for your life if you're ever attacked, as if your life depended on it, because it pretty much does. You're going to get a lot of puncture wounds and scratches. The biggest thing is be aware. Anytime you're out in the wilderness, even if it's just in a park on a nature trail, be aware. You're not the only thing there, and animals live there too, and that's their home. And just be aware. That's pretty much it.
Jamie?
Yeah, it's just brought to mind something. I was out traveling out west years ago, got to talking to a park ranger at Yellowstone. And interestingly enough, one of the most dangerous animals that they have is the bison. They have numerous bison attacks in the park every year, despite the fact that there are copious signs all over the place: do not approach bison, wild animals, dangerous. And yet people will see a bison standing on the side of the road. They will stop, unload their entire family, and try to take a picture with it. The ranger said probably 1 or 2 times out of 10, it'll attack. The other times, it'll just stand there and chew what it's eaten and just stare at you, and nothing will happen. But every now and then, it just will attack the people. And there are YouTube videos of these attacks happening, because people, of course, are running video now. You wouldn't think bison would be something that you'd need to worry about, but it's actually one of the more common animals to attack people in the United States.
That and the elk out there.
Yeah, we have a lot of elk, yeah.
Yeah, and I've been at Yellowstone a number of times, and I've actually got a video that I shot on my phone. There was a huge brown bear with 2 or 3 cubs, and I was maybe 100 feet off of the road. And of course, everyone stops; they want to see the wildlife. But people were getting out of their cars and trying to get closer to it. And on the video, you can hear my sister yelling at me because I yelled, "You know, are you stupid? It's a bear. Don't get so close." And people don't think. And bison are known to be extremely aggressive to people, as well as elk and pretty much, and moose, any large animal. Just avoid. Just stay in your vehicle, take a picture, and just leave them alone.
Can we add common sense to your list of stuff to do? Yeah.
Well, I have a friend that lives in Alaska, and he takes his dog with him whenever he goes out, any time of year. And he only goes, if his dog won't go on the path, he doesn't go on the path. And his dog can smell if there's a predator or a moose or something down the path, and they just turn around and go a different way. But his dog's got enough sense to know when there's something too big to tackle down the road, down the pathway, and the dog will just stop and wait for him, and he comes back and goes another direction. And I think that's, animals know better. Why don't we?
They have better sense than we do. You might say sense in 2 different terms, actually. Yeah, I think he's...
They were stupid, but that's just me.
Well, I think he's done with the winters up there, so I don't think he's going to be up there too much longer. But, we got a short episode tonight, but, we could do a whole thing on sea creatures. I watched some videos today that were mind-blowing. And spiders and bears and bees, oh my. But one of the things we don't talk about much is raptors, which are huge birds. When I was out in the country there, we had a big issue with owls. And, whenever I took my little dog out, I have to stay out there with her because I worry. You hear stories locally about raptors coming in and grabbing them and carrying them off, and in some cases, even small children. So, I don't know. Any of you guys face that in your area?
We have eagles here, you know, down along the Chesapeake Bay and along the Susquehanna River is a pretty big eagle habitat, as well as osprey and other raptors. I've never heard of them taking, you know, any attacking people in any way, shape, or form, and maybe a pet, but I can't say I've actually ever heard of one taking a pet. There are plenty of fish, and that's what they do. They stay by the river, and they go after the fish there. There's plenty of fish in that river and along the bay for the eagles and the ospreys and the other raptors in this area, at least, to get food.
Except they have to fight the bears for the fish occasionally. Kevin, did you have a thought on that?
I was going to say, a lot of times out west, it's not so much near the coast, because exactly what Jimmy said, there's plenty of fish. But owls tend to eat mice, they're nocturnal. I know there was a famous video, family was rehabilitating some small animal, and they were letting it loose at the backyard to be free, and they got about 10 feet away, and I couldn't tell what bird it was. It might have been a large hawk or even an eagle. Just swooped down and picked it up, took it off.
Oh, that would kill me.
Yeah, that'd get
it. Even if it wasn't my dog.
Yeah, and especially out west, a lot of the van dweller crowd, a lot of people have, you know, small pets for companions, and you can't leave them alone outside. You know, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, California, you gotta watch them.
Well, looking at this long list of different types of animals, we don't have time to get into that, but we've got shark attacks, rhinoceros, orca, let's see, hippopotamus, that would be interesting, elephants, dogs, crocodiles.
Hippopotamuses kill more people in Africa than any other animal.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah. Incredibly aggressive. And they just flip boats over and then kill people. It's just it's what they do.
Territorial and aggressive.
Yeah.
No, thank you. But to wrap this up, I got to tell you guys something I saw on Facebook that completely blew me away. But I guess there's some truth to it. I mean, I don't think they could Photoshop this, but it's a video of a baby elephant painting. And I posted it. I don't know if you guys saw it, but he literally was drawing another elephant and had the right perspective. You know, it was just like a line drawing, but then he drew flowers around it and then signed his name to it. And when he ran out of paint, he turned to the guy there and the guy would fill the paintbrush. And I thought, I had no idea elephants were that smart. I mean, think about how smart an animal would have to be. They have to understand three dimensions versus two dimensions versus, you know, how to paint something. But if this one could spell, this was a baby elephant. Have you guys ever heard of anything like that? It's just a mind blower.
We actually had a documentary on it. It wasn't a baby elephant. It wasn't a very old elephant either, but it wasn't a baby. But they had an hour-long documentary on it a number of years ago.
Wow. Well, I wonder if he was just really unique or whether there's others out there that can do stuff like that. That was just fascinating. You just never know. They must be a lot smarter than we are. Just amazing. Well, we're going to bail out of here. So everybody's tired. And I know, Joe, you just got back from your conference. Any final thoughts, Kevin?
Head on a swivel. Be aware of your surroundings at all time when you're outside of your house. If it looks cute and fuzzy, take a picture. Don't try and pet it, touch it, pick it up, or bother it. Just leave it alone. Enjoy it. Take a picture. It lasts longer. And know how to dial 911 if you get in a spot.
Yeah, you want to be alive to see that picture in the future. Dr. Joe, final thoughts?
Oh, I don't know that there's much else to add to that, right? I mean, prevention is worth 10 pounds of cure here. There's nothing good that comes out of any kind of animal attack in general. So best avoided at all cost.
Jamie, all you.
All right. Well, you know, I just want to, Joe kind of touched on the things that Paragon does with their cadaver labs at conferences like Resuscitation Conference that he was just at. Joe, it's great that you guys bring these experiential situations to these events. If somebody wants to find out what it would take to bring something like that to their next conference or local event, where can they find out how to do that?
We would love to talk to you so we can customize an experience for you, just like we did for the folks in Pennsylvania. And you can reach us at paragonmedicalgroup.com or on our Facebook page by the same name, or always through the Disaster Podcast.
Great. And thank you, Joe. I'm glad you're back home safe and sound. And you have any more traveling coming up soon?
As a matter of fact, I'll be in Vegas next week, and that's it for a little while.
Well, that's good. Yeah, you've been traveling a good bit, I know, lately, so be good to have you. I'm sure Kimberly would be happy to have you back home. Kevin, where can folks catch up with you and find out what you're doing?
Well, they can go to wildsafety.com, and there's links to all the social media. I've got a number of classes coming up here locally soon. And I'm still chugging away at the online courses, hoping to have them done by April. Other than that, disasterpodcast.com, and I'm always somewhere.
Thank you very much. And I urge people to go check out your site and the stuff you have available there. And if you're in the area, to catch up with Kevin for classes or look at what it would take to bring him to you as well. Sam, how about you? Where can we find you?
Well, someplace with Kevin sometimes, but mostly on social media under Sam Bradley or Sam Bradley 11 on the disasterpodcast.com website, and certainly within our Facebook group where we get all these great ideas for topics. What about you, Jamie?
Well, on social media, you can find me under the handle PodMedic in most social media locations out there. So please friend or follow me there. Of course, in our Disaster Podcast Facebook group, just search for Disaster Podcast and request to join the group. We'd love to have you in the community and join the discussion. We'd love to have you there. Sam, this has been a great topic. I know we've got some others in there. I've seen some people posting about ham radio operations for disaster and emergency response. That would be a great topic to hit on. And these are all people within the group, folks. So if you have something that you are passionate about, something that you'd like to hear as a topic on the show, don't hesitate to drop it in the Facebook group and let us know. Maybe we can try to get it on a future episode.
Yeah, I'm going to post some of the topics that we've come up with, because sometimes I have great topics but don't necessarily have the experts. So even though we as a group know pretty much everything, there's some that are especially the international topics. But I guess for this episode, we could say disasters with animals are not our everyday disasters.